When someone in their life has a disability, the choice becomes inclusion versus exclusion for those around them. At Christmas time, this becomes an extra heavy emotional challenge, especially for people who have autistic family members, especially in New Jersey, where the autism rate is much higher than the national average. My first guest today is here to provide insight on how inclusion into the Christmas celebration can and really should be done with autistic individuals. She is the founder of the National Autism Academy, author of Autism, and the rest of us, Jeannie Beard. How are you today, Jeannie?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here with this important topic. NationalAutismAcademy.com is to learn more about the work of the National Autism Academy. You have some great insight, information, education. You know, Jeannie, it's really important, too, the education part, because obviously with the science and the research, the cause for autism is still being sought out. So we obviously have a great deal of distance to go in that regard. So that's why education and the empowerment it offers is really so vital. And, you know, with this time of year, people make the mistake, maybe a more kinder way to say it, but nevertheless, of, well, there's challenges here, so let's eliminate to make the person comfortable, as opposed to, well, let's change things to make the person and the event and the holiday and the spirit more accessible. How are some of the things, what are some of the things people can think about in that regard?
Well, I absolutely agree with you. Education is the answer, and there are many of us today that believe that is the long-term solution, is educating the public and educating families. And I think that if you've got someone, you know, I mean, I always hear people say, my mother's cousin's, you know, daughter's son has got autism and they'll be at Christmas Eve. So I hear that kind of thing all the time, some relative, some friend. And if you're going to be at an event where there's someone with autism, there are just some things to be aware of. The person with autism is processing the world differently than the rest of us. They're not mentally retarded. They're not crazy. They're probably quite bright. In many, many cases, they're very bright. And they're very aware of what's going on. So I know it's hard to approach someone when you know that they're different. If you're going to talk to someone with autism, speak a little more softly and a little more slowly. And give them time. Let them lead the pace of the conversation. They may need more time to formulate their thoughts or to verbalize. And if it's someone who's not verbal at all, it may be very difficult. I would ask their parent, if it's a child that's not verbal, I would ask their parent, you know, what kind of things does your child like to do? And maybe simply sit down and engage in an activity with them. If they like to build Legos, then sit down and build some Legos. Just being there and interfacing with the person and being respectful of who they are is going to go a long way to helping that individual stay calm. You know, there are other general things we can do, like turn the lights down, keep the music softer, be aware, maybe offer that person a place to have some respite if they need to get away from crowds. A lot of people with autism are uncomfortable with lots of people around, that kind of thing. If they're going to sit at your dinner table, make sure that something on their plate is something that they love, because that'll really comfort them and help them get through the whole process. So there's a whole lot of things that we can do, and they're very simple.
I had an adult with autism on the show not too long ago this year. And the PR person gave me the inside, the heads up. And any question I would ask, be as definitive and as detailed as possible, because someone with autism is challenged to try to comprehend the abstract. They need something more concrete. Is that
absolutely
true?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that we teach our parents very clearly. We call it linear. The person with autism, their mind is very linear, so they do have difficulty with abstract concepts. To say something like "hurry up" to someone with autism, that's an abstract concept. Most of us know exactly what that means, but they don't have the executive functioning skills in many cases to be able to break that down into actual tasks. So instead of saying "hurry up," you might say, could you get ready to leave in the next 3 minutes? you need to put on your shoes and get your coat so we can leave in 3 minutes. That's very different than hurry up, because hurry up is too abstract. So you're absolutely right. Talking in very linear, direct, black and white terms is the very best way to communicate with someone with autism.
So during Christmas event, Christmas family celebration, whatever the plans are, if you tell the autistic individual, here's what's going to happen, or here's what we're going to do before we do it, again, because the surroundings are the abstract versus the words, which are the concrete, if you preview or give a heads up on what's going to happen before you go ahead and do something, does that lessen any negative impact something might have on an autistic individual?
Yes, that certainly can help. It may not always help, because if the person is already overloaded, it may not sink in. But if you're a parent of a child on the spectrum, absolutely, you want to walk them through everything that's going to happen that's out of the ordinary. You know, it's Christmas morning, we're going to grandma's. Excuse me, we're going to grandma's and we're going to open presents and we're going to be there for 3 hours. And so first we're going to open presents, then we're going to have breakfast, then we're going to play with our toys, then we're going to say goodbye, and then we're going to drive back home. So you know, by detailing what is going to happen and giving that person an idea of what's coming, it can be very, very supportive to them. Yeah.
Oh, Jeannie Beard, who is the founder of the National Autism Academy on nationalautismacademy.com is their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. We're talking about having the holidays be happy for everyone, including those with autism, especially here in New Jersey, given that the rate is significantly higher than the national average. The latest report shows that autism prevalence is 4.5 times higher in boys than girls, 1 in 42 boys, 1 in 189 girls nationally. And in New Jersey, it's 1 in 41, which basically translates to about 2.5% of kids in New Jersey with some level along the autism spectrum disorder. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And you're also a parent with an autistic child, along with a child with an attention deficit disorder. Those initial steps as a parent, what were the biggest challenges for you?
There are a lot of challenges. Getting a diagnosis and finding the right support for our kids is really still a complicated issue. You know, unfortunately, it's all too often that the whoever's going to diagnose says it's autism, and here's your checkout paperwork. And there's no advice given, no direction given. There's a lot of services, but there's very limited guidance in how to find the right service for your family, for your child. There are a lot of places where there are long waiting lists, where there's difficulty in finding, the kind of educational information that parents need. That's why we founded the National Autism Academy, was to provide education to parents. Too often parents sit on the sideline while their child is getting therapy, and they don't really know how to help at home and how to understand and work with their child at home. And so that's what we do at the Academy. The National Autism Academy is an awesome place for the first line of defense. If you get a diagnosis and you don't know what else to do, give us a call, because not only will we help educate you, but we'll support you in finding the other kinds of services you need.
And when you're living day-to-day with someone on the autism spectrum disorder, how important is it to understand, much like with electronics, if you overload an outlet, a floorboard, for example, which most of us do this holiday season, we're plugging as many lights into a strip of six as we possibly can, and we wonder why all of a sudden the circuit breaker kicks off. The importance of understanding the level of possible input and how it impacts behavior.
That's a great question. We describe it like three light bulbs, and you know, coming into the first light bulb, there's all kinds of capacity, but that is where the just managing the sensory input is done. So when you're managing the sensory input, when your resources are tied up managing the sensory input, there's very little available to process higher level information. So to and And that includes social information, which is why many of these people aren't very social. And ultimately, autism becomes a social disability because they're overloaded. The incoming sensory stimulation overloads their neurology. And again, this is not attitude. This is not a decision they make. This is not an act of will. It's something that's happening to them on a neurological level. So you're absolutely right that when they're overloaded, they're not able to function in the way that the rest of us do or learn from the environment, et cetera, et cetera.
And, you know, on the flip side, people think of that as being a negative, but I think of it as positive, as someone being upfront with you saying, okay, that I've had enough, and you got your point across, or you haven't gotten your point across, and this is, we have to go on to the next step, as opposed to someone trying just to fake their way through. Someone with autism is going to be, you know, as blatantly honest with you as any individual possibly can be.
Very often that's the case, yes. And as people with autism mature, they do learn social norms and can become very blended into the community. So they have that capacity. But, you know, their natural tendency, yes, is to be very direct, very black and white. You know, if you ask them, do you like my shirt? And they say no, you know, they're not going to say yes just to placate you and be social and be nice. They're, you know, why did you ask me? If you didn't want to know what I thought, why did you ask me? So,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think, too, what you learn when you go over to nationalautismacademy.com, there's a wealth of great information you can download for free, and, you know, certainly get Jeannie's book, Autism and the Rest of Us, because it does give you great insight, both if you're a family member or parent of an autistic individual, or if you're just curious about that aspect of our society, again, in New Jersey, with the rate being as abnormally high versus the national average as it is, to gain the understanding of how we think of someone who has a quote-unquote disability and there's a need to limit or exclude, where, in fact, there's a lot we can learn from that individual, and it's more important to include them in whatever it is we're going to be doing this time of year or any time of year. So, again, visit nationalautismacademy.com. Great information, education, knowledge, and a greater awareness of the truth about autism and the best ways to include that autistic individual into the day-to-day life, the family, friends, workplace, whatever the case may be. And, again, it's Autism and the Rest of Us, Jeannie's book. Jeannie Baird, thanks so much for the work that you do, the awareness that you raise, and the understanding that you provide really all members involved with the autism community. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to do it.